In the last 5 minutes, I've gotten a lot of things wrong, so that's why I come running in last minute. So apparently I've been away just long enough to get out of habit and all that sort of thing. So, hey, by the way, my name is Chris. I get the privilege to serve as senior pastor here. At least when I left, that was true. And we won't call for a vote this morning. I don't want my feelings hurt. So, so glad that you're here. Excited to worship with you this morning. If you're a guest, thank you so much for being here. We'd love to connect with you, and we can do that in one of two ways. There's a card in the pew back in front of you. You can fill that out, and at the end of service, you can leave that in our offering plate, and that's a way for us to connect with you. Or you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says, I'm new. You click that button, fill that information out, and again, it's a way for us to know who's worshiping with us today, and we're grateful that you've chose to join us and be with us today. Want to make you aware of a couple things that are happening and coming up. Unfortunately, we just didn't have enough for between multiple churches for our Memphis mission trip. So that trip next week has been canceled. I'll be looking for maybe in a couple weeks. Brother Ronnie has a group coming in from another church group coming in to do some street evangelism and things, so I may be looking to try to go and help him a day or two, but next week's trip has been canceled. We just unfortunately didn't have enough people to be able to do the ministry the way that it's kind of set up and designed. And so be praying for Memphis, be praying for Brother Ronnie and the ministry, and just continue to lift them up as you think about them. Student camps are coming up. Our students, junior high school students, are leaving for camp a week from Monday, and so they're headed to Camp Pear and Engage Camp, and so be praying for them and just be mindful of them. Also, then the following week is our children's camp, several headed to Camp Siloam, and so be praying for them and the leaders. And if you know someone that might be interested, you need to visit with Pastor Jonathan as soon as possible to make him aware of that, and y'all can discuss that. And so just a couple of different things happening and taking place in the life of the church. I am excited this morning to give you a report based on what the Lord did in Africa. And so my plan is this morning, in just a moment, we're going to have a time of prayer. And then we're going to sing unto the Lord, worship the Lord. I'll come back and just kind of set some things up to share with you. I've got a video to share with you, and then an exciting announcement following that video that I think you're going to really be excited about, and it's an opportunity for us to celebrate how God is at work. And so looking forward to that in just a few moments. So let me lead us in a word of prayer, and then we will worship the Lord together. God, you are gracious and kind and merciful. We thank you for your love and affection. God, we thank you for how you care for us. And God in heaven, I pray this morning that you would be exalted above all else. God, I pray that in these next few moments, God, there would be a gathering, a resounding voice here this morning to worship you. God, that you would inhabit the praises of your people, that you'd be glorified. And Lord Jesus, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Would you stand as we sing, This Is My Father's World?
This is my Father's world. Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge, strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the
I'm alive because he lives.
does he live?
We are, we're going to play a video for you. Let me just share with you. Obviously, I went with several from a church in Oklahoma, and also another pastor and his family also went with us from a different church. And so Crescent Valley, one of their college students, put this together. And so you're going to see a lot of different people, a lot of people from our team, a lot of short clips of videos of things that took place and happened. And so early on the video, there's going to be kind of some reporting of some things that happened, and so I hope you'll celebrate those. But just a quick video, and then after that, I want to share a couple things with you. So let's watch this video together. Just incredible, the work that the Lord did. I hope that you caught it, but there were over 1,000 professions of faith during our time there. Amen. As a result of that, there were 8 churches that were planted there. We had opportunities to train, teach, equip both pastors and women ministry leaders, nearly 100 women ministry leaders, and approximately 30 or 35 pastors we had the chance to to invest in and equip. And I believe we baptized 49 individuals while we were there. And so the Lord did an incredible, just an incredible work. And so one of the things I want to share with you and give you an exciting announcement. You can see this next picture I just put up there. Kind of hard to tell a little bit on these screens, but that is a yam field. Their yams is a major, major, major staple in their diet. It's much closer to like a big white potato for us. Not quite as sweet as what we think about most often, but nonetheless, just what we would do is we would go into these remote villages out into the bush, and we would go and we would take. Some of you have seen it. I've been wearing this bracelet for a while now, but it has the colors on it. And some of you have seen, you saw in a picture there too, Pastor Chad, maybe some others were holding a soccer ball and it had colors on it. And so what we would do, we would go in. Somebody has already spoken with the chief to make sure they were okay with us coming and simply asked, hey, we've got folks wanting to come share a message of hope and a message of peace. And so if the chief agrees, then we go in. And so we would go into these villages, take this ball, and talk and walk through story through the Bible, sharing the gospel. That is the God of creation who created everything good and perfect. Yet sin entered the world, and because of that sin, it's passed down through man. That separates us from God. But God sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us and to pay the penalty for our sin. But hallelujah, he didn't stay dead. He is a resurrected Savior, and he has ascended to the right hand of God. And then there's a promise that as we enter into a relationship with him, we grow. And so, in essence, that's the message that we share. They gather, nearly everybody in the village will gather. And we would share the gospel. And now, with intentionality and purpose, we, as the Americans, did not extend the invitation. We allowed local pastors, our interpreters, they would give the invitation, trying to disjoint, trying to separate. You're not responding to us, a message from a white American, but rather you're responding to the message from a holy God, an invitation for salvation. And so they would give that invitation and lead through that. And time again, not every time, but many, many times. I may try to share some more pictures tonight. We would see nearly the entire village raise their hands to say that they had repented and believed on Jesus. And so then what would happen is that there would be a question. And they would ask, say, hey, those of you that are brand new believers, how would you like it if we would plant a Baptist church in this village for you? And every time they asked, they would have a resounding yes. And so they would turn to whoever shared the gospel and say, hey, it is customary, obviously, that when you have a child, you get the privilege to name that child. And so they see this as a new birth. And so they would turn to the individual who would who shared the gospel and say, hey, you get the honor to name this church. And that's incredible. And so the second village we went into, they gave me the privilege to share the gospel. And I want you to know, as an exciting announcement, you can see this next picture, but we now have a church plant in Banda, Ghana. Amen. Is incredible. Several responded to the gospel. I know it's kind of hard to tell, but you can see so many hands up that said that they had prayed to receive Christ. They wanted to be saved. And so what happens then after that is that they ask for three men and three women to be volunteers, to step forward to be leaders, and right there on the spot. And what they get these leaders, sometimes they volunteered, sometimes they got drafted by their peers, you know, a little nudge in the back to step forward. But nonetheless, what happens then is you see this man in a white shirt on the left hand side of this picture. This is Francis. And so Francis is one of our interpreters. He's one of the pastors there that's a part of the ministry that we are working with. And so he and others have trainings a lot of times on Fridays where they bring these local leaders there. Women train women, men train in the pastors, and they'll teach them a Bible lesson. And they'll equip them for that. They'll have a meal together. They'll bring yams from their villages, and somebody will cook a meal while they're having the training. And then they'll teach them a Bible lesson that they can go back and teach the church, the brand new church, that Bible lesson. And that goes on and on as they continue to train them and equip them. And it's an incredible, incredible work. And so they've already gone back to Russellville Second Baptist Church, and it began following up and meeting with these leaders, and that work will continue on, Lord willing. The next picture, you can see some of the leaders that step forward. It's kind of hard to see, but these are a few of the leaders that step forward that are leaders of Russellville Second Baptist Church. And so it's a really, really incredible ministry and opportunity. And so let me say this. I want to encourage you, begin praying now about if God would have you to go next year. We have a second campus we need to go check on. And there are villages after villages after villages that need somebody to go and take the gospel and share the gospel with them. We had teenagers 13 years old. Right after this, the very next one was a 13-year-old young man that shared the gospel and planted a church. And just incredible what the Lord, name of that church is Little Creek Baptist Church. Really incredible all that the Lord did. Hey, I hope you'll come back tonight, 5 o'clock. I'm going to share about the Southern Baptist Convention before Africa. I was in, Deidre and I were in Anaheim, California. And at the Southern Baptist Convention annual meeting. And so tonight I want to share with you about that. Also, I'll throw up a few pictures and I'll talk through a little bit more of what we did, what took place, how God did some incredible things. And I'll tell you some fun stories about a baboon coming into my hotel room, okay? So come back tonight, 5 o'clock. That'll be fun. Well, it's fun now. It wasn't necessarily fun at the time. But anyway, nonetheless, hope you'll be back tonight. I'll share more about what happened in Africa and all that the Lord did. All right? Well, if you have your Bibles, I hope that you do. Would you turn to the book of Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. As you're turning there, we're going to begin in verse 20. Let me just say before I move on too much further from this, be praying for that congregation, obviously for brand new believers, brand new leaders. A major, major staple that helps those churches grow is a set of drums. And so I'm going to be finding out more about what it would look like for us to be able to help get them drums. I believe I heard it only cost about $200 to get the drums and get them there. To them, I'll have to confirm that, but just know that may come in the days ahead, an opportunity for folks to give and to help that sister church in that way. So Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to begin in verse 20, and Lord willing, go all the way to the end of the chapter, which will bring us to the end of the book of Hebrews. And so I don't know if that disappoints you or excites you, but nonetheless, Lord willing, Shitty Terry, we're going to get to the end of Hebrews. Being mindful that Jesus is greater and He is supreme. And so if you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? The holy, infallible, inerrant Word of God says this. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, equip you with everything good to do His will, working in us what is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I urge you to receive this message of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. Be aware that our brother Timothy has been released. If he comes to you soon enough, He will be with me when I see you. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who are from Italy send you greetings. Grace be with you all. Let us pray. Jesus, you're good. We love and adore you. We thank you for your goodness and grace and the truth of your word. God, I pray that you would speak to us through your word. Give me every word to say and nothing more, nothing less. God, I pray that you be glorified. Lord God in heaven, we thank you for the work that you've done in Africa and the work that you are doing. God, all the good things that we've reported about, God, it's you who did it and not us. It's for your glory and for your name's sake. And so, God, I pray that you be with our brothers and sisters there. Lord, I pray you would anoint them and bless them. God, meet with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning I want to preach to you this final message of excellent prayer from the book of Hebrews. Excellent prayer. In the last few chapters, we've been looking at this idea of excellent living. And remember, the first several chapters are all about theology. It's all about this heavenly knowledge of who Jesus is and how He's supreme and how He is more than, He is sufficient. He is better than the Old Testament sacrificial system. He's better than the angels. He's better than the saints. All these sorts of things. And just this exaltation of Jesus, how Jesus is greater, and just keep heaping praises and accolades on top of Him. And then we get to the last couple chapters, and it's where the, if you will, the proverbial rubber meets the road. Or in Africa, the red dirt, where it really comes to matter and where it fleshes out and impacts our life. And so we began walking through that several weeks ago, and now we get to the conclusion of this chapter and want to focus on this idea of excellent prayer. And notice how this author ends with this really powerful moment of prayer for these people. I want us to look at that and glean truth from that. So the main idea of the text is this: powerful praying impacts lives for the kingdom of God. Powerful praying impacts lives for the kingdom of God. Now listen. I want to be careful here because I don't believe you have to pray in a certain language. In terms of, you know, sometimes we get in this formal sort of approach and all of a sudden somebody from Ratcliffe, Arkansas starts speaking King James when they pray. And this sort of elegance and trying to make it sound really good and all that sort of thing. So I believe there ought to be an authenticity when we pray. At the same time, I think we need to be really mindful of what we do pray and learning and hearing from the Word of God and letting the Word of God teach us and sculpt our prayer and our prayer time. And so this morning as we walk through this, I want you to listen to how in just a couple verses the depth in which this author prays for the people. And even though it is very short, it is not a long prayer. But I believe he says more in two verses than what sometimes I'm guilty of praying in a couple minutes. I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle. I'm vague in my time of prayer. God bless them or God be with them. And we come up with these sayings that we really don't have a lot of meat behind them. There's not a lot of thrust behind them. And I think that's why it's important we ought to look to the Bible, not only to shape us how we live and how we move, how all those sorts of things, but also ought to shape how we pray. And so I hope this morning, my prayer is this morning, that we'll see the significance of this powerful prayer and we'll let it shape us. We'll let other places in Scripture really shape how we pray and we begin to pray the will and the purposes and the plan of God. And that's why I label this as powerful praying impacts lives for the kingdom of God. And so then the question of the text is this: are you praying powerfully for the kingdom of God? Is the way that you're praying impacting the kingdom of God? Is it impacting believers around you? Is it impacting this church? Is it impact? Because here's the reality. God hears our prayers. God responds to the prayers of His people. And now, yes, admittedly, He doesn't always respond the way that we want Him to. The will of God doesn't always flesh itself out the way that we had hoped or desired. But God responds to the prayers of His people. We see it time and time again throughout the pages of Scripture. And so there's some truths I want to look at this morning together. Number one, I want you to notice the powerful address. The powerful address of this prayer. There are three ways that he addresses God himself. And so let's look at this together in verse 20. He says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." He acknowledges God in three different ways. I want us to take a moment and pause at each one of those and think about these. Notice first, A, he addresses the God of peace. Notice the address, the God of peace. Listen to what he says. "Now may the God of peace," mark or underline that. When you begin your time of prayer, I believe it is important. Some of you remember the acronym that you were taught maybe way back when of ACTS, like the book ACTS, A-C-T-S. And we kind of learned that acronym to kind of help outline our prayers of sorts. Now, you don't have to be this formal, but I do believe it is really a great place to start. That A-C-T-S each stand for something: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And beginning with that A, that adoration. And so as you begin to pray, it's a value, it is good to begin to pray, to adore God, to worship God. It seems throughout the pages of the Bible, God inhabits the praises of His people. And so I believe this author here, as he's beginning to pray for the people, what does he do? He begins to adore God. He is just in a moment of worship to God. And so here he begins with this, and by calling on God as the God of peace. And by the way, just jot this down. If you need some help in this area, you want to begin your prayer time adoring God and praising God, here's what I encourage you to go Google the names of God. Names of God throughout the Bible. And use those in your time of prayer as you begin to worship God. That God, you're the lily of the valley, the bright morning star, the fairest unto my soul. You're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You're the Prince of Peace, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're the God who always has been and always will be. And there's so many names of God that we can lean on. God, our provider. God, our sustainer. There's so much. And so that's how he begins. And so here he begins by leaning on and calling out to the God of peace. Philippians 4:9 says this, do what you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me. And look at this, and the God of peace will be with you. I want you to place yourself just for a moment, as best you can, in Africa. In Africa, Ghana has some major cities. Accra, or the vast area around Accra is, they say, 6 or 7 million people. Kumasi is 4 to 5 million people. But go on further north and we go through Tamale. Tamale is a major city, larger than any city in Arkansas. And then we've gone on over to Yindi. Yindi's a large city. And then down to Bimbela and then down to Pondai. And we stayed in Pondai. And so to drive from Accra, which is the capital, up and around there takes about 12 hours of driving. And then you get on a bus and you drive, and then you turn right through a market in a little city, and it's a dirt road, and you drive that dirt road as far as you can. And by the way, that dirt road, you're in a big people mover bus, and it begins to narrow down to basically where it's a motorcycle path. And imagine yourself in a village where your house is a hut. A mud hut, straw is your roof. No doors, one room. Goats and chickens out in the yard. Yams all around you. No running water. and not real sure how long you might make it. Because most of the people in your village, maybe 25 and under, there are some elders, certainly. There's a chief that certainly probably the senior elder. And occasionally you see people live a really long time. But the vast majority do not. Now I want you to think about the importance of hearing a message from the God of peace. We live in America. All have vehicles. We all have TVs. We all have phones. And we have all these things that are going on. One of the things I noticed, Al Ray, in one of our pastor trainings is that we taught for several hours. And I was sitting there watching the men that we were teaching. And I saw very little tapping of the foot, shaking of the leg, bouncing. Sat there for hours. And I really believe the Lord just kind of illuminated my mind about this, is that they have so little, but in America we have such an issue with anxiety and depression and all these things, and we are inundated. We are stimulated by entertainment to the fullest. And yet we may struggle with peace as much as anybody in the world. But friend, I'm here to tell you, we serve the God of peace. Not only is He the God of peace because you and I were enemies against God and He sent His only Son Jesus to die on the cross for you, that you could have a relationship with Him, that there would be this restoration of peace with the God who created you, that you could have salvation in Him and Him alone, but also He comes and He brings peace in our lives. That I don't know what tomorrow holds any more than the Ghanaian does. I don't have any more assurity of anything tomorrow than what the Ghanaian does. But I'm here to tell you, friend, because I have a saving relationship with the God of peace, I can face tomorrow with a sense of peace because I can't hold tomorrow, but He does. He is the God of peace. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always and in every way. The Lord be with you all. But when he's praying to the God of peace, this is what he's praying about. Not only the God of peace that brings about restoration, but the God of peace who will rule your heart. Hey, can I encourage you this morning? I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that goes through this, but there are times where we face situations and face times where, man, it just begins to overwhelm me and I begin running down a road about what this happens and that happens or this takes place or that takes place and just begin creating all these circumstances that I have absolutely no control over and it's only between my ears. Man, the Lord has reminded me lately, there are only a certain handful of things that I can control. Very few. And most of it's in and within myself. And so I've been trying to be mindful lately as my heart and my mind gets overwhelmed with those things and those situations. Just time and again go, God, I can't control that and it's not my responsibility to carry it. I give it to you. God, give me peace. You know what? The enemy brings it back. My own selfishness brings it back. God, I can't carry that. It's not mine to carry. God, I give it to you. Give me peace. And that's what this Bible passage is saying. This verse is saying, the Lord of peace will give you peace always. Dear friend, don't let the enemy rob you. Don't trade your peace for anxiety. Don't trade your peace for depression. And now let me hit pause. There are some things that we face that we need to seek help with. We need to seek counseling with. There are certain situations that need some real intervention, some things. So don't hear me undermine or mistreat those. But I'm just telling you, for many of us, a lot of things that we face, can be overcome by our submission to the Lord and recognizing Him as the God of peace. And so he begins this time of prayer of recognizing God, that God, you are the God of peace. So he begins his prayer, his address to the God of peace. Secondly, B, he addresses the resurrected Savior. So when you pray, address the resurrected Savior. Listen to this. Now may the God of peace, there's the first acknowledgement. Secondly, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus. There it is. He brought up from the dead. This resurrection, he points to this. He highlights this. And so as he's praying, he's saying, man, listen, here's the God of peace, but here's the resurrected Savior. And what's the significance in this is that the only way he's able to pray and know that God hears our prayer is because we have a resurrected Savior. Without the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus is dead. We have no intercession for us. We have no access to a holy God. And so he's praying that you're the God of peace and you have this resurrected Jesus that brought about salvation, that brings us hope, that brings us life. The only way that we have this relationship. So he is acknowledging this. Acts 2:24 refers to him, says, God raised him up, talking about Jesus, ending the pains of death because it was not possible for him to be held by death. Romans 8:11 says, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his spirit who lives in you. So man, as he's praying, there's this sort of life that begins to build in his prayers. He's praying, I'm praying to the God of peace, but I'm not just praying to the God of peace, I'm praying to the resurrected Savior. And in C, he addresses the shepherd of the sheep. He's worshiping God. He's saying, you're the God of peace. You're the one who raised Jesus from the dead. And then notice this. And now may the God of peace who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, look at this, the great shepherd of the sheep. Mark or underline that. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. I love that the author does not get away from this. Why is this important? Remember, he's been highlighting throughout the entire book, Jesus is greater, right? And so here, before he begins to close, he sort of gives one last reminder as he's praying this. He's praying to the God of peace. He's praying to the resurrected Savior. He's praying to the shepherd of the sheep. And then he takes a moment and points back to the blood of Jesus, saying that the covenant that we are now under, this covenant that we have through the God's very own Son, it's through His blood, which is a better way. It is the only way. And so he is worshiping God here. I want you to notice this. The God of peace, the resurrected Savior, and this shepherd of the sheep. And think about this incredible picture as Jesus is our shepherd. He is our great shepherd. That He leads us. He provides for us. He sustains us. He cares for us. All the things, all the incredible word pictures, all the parallelisms we can draw between what a shepherd of actual sheep do compared to what Jesus does for His people, all of those parallelisms fit, and even in a greater way. That He provides and He cares for us. He protects us. Psalm 23:1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. Isaiah 40:11 describes this shepherd. He protects his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and he carries them in the fold of his garment. He gently leads those that are nursing. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful to have a shepherd who is gentle, who cares, who provides, who carries us. Maybe you're in one of those stages this morning where you feel like you can't go any further. The next step seems impossible. The next day seems impossible. I'm here to tell you, dear friend, we not only have a God of peace, but we have a resurrected Savior, but we have a shepherd who will full lean and trust in Him. He'll carry us. He'll sustain you. He'll strengthen you. You may feel like it's impossible for me to face whatever I'm facing alone and can't get through. And you know what? Best thing to do is say, you're absolutely right. I can't get through it alone. But I love and serve the God who will walk me through it, who will carry me through it. Because He's the shepherd of the sheep. My hope and prayer this morning is that as we've walked through this, your heart has been filled up. Your soul has been replenished and renewed, because that's what praising God does. Sometimes we walk in and we think, man, I'm so empty. I can't sing today. I'm so empty. I can't pour anything out. But dear friend, I'm telling you, if you'll come in and break open the alabaster jar and pour it out, God will fill you up. He'll sustain you. He'll give you strength. He told the widow, just go keep pouring the oil jar and keep pouring. Man, she ran out of glasses to fill it up. And so this author is beginning to pray for his people. And before he gets to where he can focus on the people, the first thing that he does is he spends a moment praising God. Now, obviously, it takes just seconds to read this verse. Just seconds to pray to the God of peace and to the one who raised Jesus from the dead and to the shepherd of the sheep, because of the everlasting covenant of His blood. Just seconds. Well, I believe it begins and it helps us set in a way that we can really pray in a powerful way for the kingdom of God. So we notice the address. Number two, now notice the powerful intercession. Sort of sets the table. He's honored God as God. He has worshipped Him as God and God alone. He has adored Him. Now in this moment, he's ready to pray for the people. And so he prays for the people in two ways as we look this morning. First, he asks for equipping believers. He asks for the equipping of believers. Look at verse 21. He jumps right into it. Equip you with everything good to do His will. Mark, underline equip. He prays this. He says, equip you. He's talking to the believers, the Hebrews there, with everything good to do His will. What's he doing? He's begging God. Remember, he starts back in verse 20. Now may the God of peace. Then he lists some descriptors of God. In verse 21, he gets to specifically what he's asking God for. So it reads like this. Now may the God of peace equip you. He's asking God on their behalf, and we're asking God on our behalf. God, may the God of peace equip you, how? With everything good to do His will. Now, here's the thing about praying powerfully. Praying powerfully is praying the will of God. I mean, God hears the prayers of His people. God answers prayers specifically when we pray the will of God. The Bible says, you have not because you ask not. When you ask amiss. And goes on to talk about asking selfishly. But here, friend, what James is talking about there, saying, look, when you pray, you're praying for things that your will, that your plan, your purpose. You're not praying for the will and plan and purpose of God. But there's some things that are clear in Scripture that are according to the will and plan and purposes of God. And when we pray those things, this is why we need the Bible to shape how we pray. And when we pray those things, and we can have confidence that God will answer those things. So think about this. He prays this. Now may the God of peace equip you with everything that you need to do His will. Now think about this. Does God want us as believers to be obedient to the will of God? This means yes. This means no. Yeah. Right? Everybody okay? You're awake? We don't need an interpreter for that, right? I don't need Francis this morning, so... Does God want every believer to be obedient to the will of God? Yes. So then, what the author is praying here, he's saying, God, will you help give them everything that they need to be obedient to the will of God? Man, that's a good prayer. It is a strong prayer. We don't see that just here. We see it in other places. Listen to what Colossians 1, 9 through 12 says. For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We're asking, listen to this, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's equipping. Know and understand what it is God wants you to do. Look at this. Why? So that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience joyfully, giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. That is a longer form of what the author of Hebrews is praying. Saying, I want you to know and understand the will and purposes of God. I want you to walk worthy of the Lord. I want you to bear fruit. God, would you give them strength to be obedient to the things of God according to your work and according to your might, that you may give them endurance, help them to sustain with longevity, give them patience, that they joyfully give thanks to the Lord. Man, that is strength in prayer, where he's begging God to work and to move in a mighty way. And he goes on in chapter 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, sends you greetings. He is always wrestling for you. Look at this. Always wrestling for you in prayers so that you can stand mature and fully assured in everything God wills. Well, he's praying for the equipping of the saints. And friends, here's what I want to encourage you to think about. Man, as you pray this week, as you pray tonight, as you pray for your kids or your grandkids, I want you to think about, even go back to this text, and maybe instead of praying, God bless them, God be with them, what if you prayed tonight for them, God of peace, and Jesus is a resurrected Savior, and is the shepherd of the sheep, the shepherd of my children, the shepherd of my grandchildren. God, would you equip my kids for every good work according to your will? Man, doesn't that sound like there's power and authority behind that? God will work and God will bless that. So not only is he asked for the equipping of believers, but here he goes on, he asked for the sanctification of believers. He asked for the sanctification of believers. Listen to verse 21. Equip you with every good work to do his will. Now here's the transition. Working in us what is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So the last part of that, he's just describing it. So notice this, working in us what is pleasing in his sight. That's what he's praying for. Mark or underline that. How does he want it done? He wants it done through Jesus. Why does he want it done? That would be for the glory, be for his glory forever and ever. And so he's asking first for the equipping and then secondly for the working in us what is pleasing in his sight. So here's the idea. He's saying, look, I'm praying, God, I'm praying that believers will be equipped. They'll be able to have what they need to accomplish the will of God. But not only are they working for the glory and for the kingdom of God, but God, I pray that you work in them. God, that you work some things out of them. Anybody need some things worked out of you this morning? Maybe I'm the only one. But not only some things being worked out of me, I need some things worked in me. And I need to trade off some maybe quick-temperedness, and I need patience. I need time where man, the anxiety welling up, and I need peace. Maybe wanting to do my will taken out of me and the will of God placed in me. And all these sorts of things. And that's what happens to me because several years ago when I surrendered my heart and life to Jesus, he forgave all my past, present, and future sin. He took the Holy Spirit and left it in me. But that was not a completed work for all eternity. Now, it's completed for salvation, but it is not complete for sanctification. There's a difference. Sanctification is the process in which I'm becoming more and more like Jesus. I know some of you don't believe that, but that's what the Bible says, okay? And you can't take that away from me, all right? But that's the idea that I am to be growing and becoming more and more like Jesus, Ephesians 2:10. And we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for his good pleasure. And so as I'm drawing closer and closer to the Lord Jesus, and as I'm walking more and more like Him, we ought to become more and more like Him. And that's what the author's praying here. God, I pray that you equip them that they can go out and do the work. But God, I also pray that you continue to work in them that they become more and more like Jesus. Now, sometimes we pray for people to change, don't we? They tick you off, and God, help them not to tick me off anymore. God, help them not do that again. God, I pray that you would smite them in Jesus' name. Oh, none of you prayed that. I know, that's just me. We pray for people. When's the last time you prayed for somebody on the other side of the aisle that, God, would you help them? Would you work in them that they may become more like you? God, would you help me that I may become more like you? Would you work in me? Purge out, take out all the sinful, selfish things in my heart and in my life. And replace them with the fruits of the Spirit. That's what he's praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this, "And may the God of peace himself," look at this, "sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who is working in you both to will and to work according to His good purpose." And God wants you to become more like Him. It's God's plan and purpose for you to become more and more like Jesus. Now listen, this is a good place for you to say amen. I'm never going to become totally like Jesus this side of heaven. I'm not giving to you again. That was a good chance to say amen. But God does want me day by day to grow and to become more and more like Him the closer I get to eternity. And so you just think about this. This week as you pray, it may be, now some of you are some incredible prayer warriors and you've got a whole lot that you could teach me about prayer and I need to learn. But some of you may be, man, I'm just struggling. I go through dry seasons. I go through hard times in my prayer time. I just want to challenge you this week. Begin your time of prayer really praising and worshiping God. It may be that you have a favorite worship song or two. You begin with that. It may be that you love the hymns and you want to sing a hymn before you begin and just worship and honor the Lord. It may be you just want to pray the names of God. But begin your time in a time of worship and praise and adoration. Now, we often teach the ACTS acronym, the ACTS, adoration, then confession, because here's why. I imagine your experience has been like mine, but whenever I really get into the presence of God, what begins to happen, I begin to have an experience like Isaiah did in Isaiah 6. "Woe unto me. I'm an unclean man. Dwell in the midst of an unclean people." We get in the presence of God and the holiness of God convicts us. And we begin to confess our sin. And in thanksgiving, as we begin to thank God, "Thank you, Jesus, for your salvation. Thank you for your forgiveness." And we just thank God. Then we get to a place where our heart is clean, our conscience is clear, and we're really able to pray. I want to challenge you, let the Bible shape your prayers. Think about this passage this week and praying, "God, would you equip? God, would you equip the saints of Second Baptist that we may be obedient to the plans and purposes that you have for the will of God that you have for Second Baptist Church? God, I pray for the saints of Second Baptist Church. God, would you work in them? God, would you sanctify them? Would you help them become more and more like Jesus?" Man, what happens if we pray for this for our brothers and sisters, our sister church in Ghana? God, I pray for those brand new believers, those brand new leaders. God, would you equip them for the work? Would you equip them for the plan and purpose you have for them? God, would you help those believers be sanctified? Would you work in them? Let me tell you real quickly about a question. We did some Q&A after some of the training. Let me tell you about one of the questions that one of our... I'll give you two questions that our ladies were asked this past week. First question was this. Said, hey, how do we handle individuals in our village that have committed murder and they've told us and told us we shouldn't tell anybody? As a believer, how do we handle that? That's what they ask. Another question was that she said, I'm a follower of Jesus and I've got family who goes and sacrifices to idols. And right now they're really upset at me because I haven't gone. The other thing is that I have a brand new child. And it's customary in our village for that child to go to a sacrificial service and they sacrifice on behalf of that child. And my husband wants to take my child. What do I do? Friends, let's commit this week to beg God that God would equip those people for the work and purposes and plan that God has for them, and that God would work in them and sanctify them. And pray for one another. Let's pray. Jesus, you're good, and there's none like you. And God, I pray that all that we say and do today will glorify you. I pray, God, in heaven, for anyone here who's not yet repented of their sins and placed their faith and trust in you. God, in heaven, I pray you give them grace right now to call out on you for salvation. God, give them grace to repent and believe in you. God, to forsake all else and follow you and you alone. And if that's you this morning, if you'd say, Pastor Chris, I want to be saved. I want to follow Jesus. Surrender my heart and life to him. Friend, I want to tell you, do it today. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Pray right where you're at. God, forgive me of my sin. God, be the boss of my life. Just pour your heart out to him. Ask him to forgive you. Forgive me of all my sin. I give my life to you totally, freely, and without reservation. God, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. And I'll be what you want me to be. Jesus, you be the boss and master of my life. In Jesus' name, with head bowed and eyes closed, nobody else looking around, if you'd say, Pastor Chris, I pray and ask God to save me this morning, and I'm not ashamed, would you just slip your hand up in the air? Say, Brother Chris, I pray and ask God to save me this morning. As you remain in the attitude of prayer, this front, this altar is open for you. You want to come and pray? You come. God dealing with your heart about something, you come. Whenever I pray, you respond to however the Lord stirred your heart this morning. Jesus, you're good. We love and adore you. We thank you for all that you are and all that you do. Lord, I pray that we be obedient to however you spoke to us this morning. God, you be glorified in our time. I pray this in Jesus' name. You main attitude of prayer. If God spoke to your heart this morning, you come. You need somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you want to come and pray for brothers and sisters in Ghana. You be obedient to the Lord this morning.
Have you been to Calvary? It was there on Calvary, God's dear Son.
Amen. God is good. And so grateful that you've had a chance to be with us today and looking forward to what the Lord has in store. I'm going to ask our men, if you'll begin to take your place, you can help receive our offering. Hey, be back tonight, 5 o'clock, as I share about the Southern Baptist Convention annual meeting, and then also opportunity to share more in more detail about some of the things that we're able to be a part of in Africa, and what our hope is moving forward in the days ahead related to Africa and future trips. So hope you'll be here, give you a chance to ask questions about both of those things, both the SBC annual meeting, Southern Baptist life, and then also about the trip in Africa. And don't forget, I'll tell you a fun story about a baboon went through my luggage. So be with us tonight. Hey, as we get ready to leave, we have one opportunity as we leave today to another opportunity to worship the Lord, and that's through our giving. And I just want to challenge you these days to be faithful in your giving. The Lord has been good and gracious to us. It is all His. We just get an opportunity to give some of that back to Him. And so grateful for your faithfulness. Pray that you'd encourage you to continue to be faithful in your giving and worship the Lord in that way. So let's stand together, and I will lead us in a word of prayer and ask God's hand a blessing on our offering, and then we will be dismissed. Let's pray. Jesus, you're good. We love and adore you. We thank you for your goodness and grace. God, thank you for how you give, and God, all that you bless us with. I pray that we would give back to you in a way that brings honor and glory to your name. God, I pray that we would give in a way that would bless the work and the ministry that you've called us to. Lord, I just thank you for how you love and care for us. Be with us now. Make your face shine upon us. God, equip us and sanctify us for the work of the ministry. And Lord, we love you and praise you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.